إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we continue with yesterday's lesson with regard to حقوق العباد, the rights of the people. We mentioned yesterday the first and most important haqq that the people have on us, that we should introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. The second most important thing is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a Muslim is one from whose tongue and from whose hand other people are safe. Again, this is a conditional statement, means that if a person is such that he is causing harm to others by his tongue and his hand, then one has to question whether he is a Muslim. We know the famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that Jibreel as-salam came to me so many times and reinforced for me the rights of neighbors, that I thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal the Quran and say that your neighbor is your heir, he is your inheritor. The third very famous hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and he said, who are the destitute of this ummah? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, the destitute are people who have no money. Rasulullah said, no. He said, the destitute of this ummah are those people who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. When we go to Medina, we must actually go and look at the mountain of Uhud. I think it's very, because this mountain is mentioned in so many places, in the Quran as well as in the hadith. We should go and see what it looks like, because we keep saying mountain of Uhud. It is a huge, huge, huge thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the destitute of this ummah are those people who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. But others will come and they will say, O Allah, this man harmed me and he slandered me and he took away my rights and he oppressed me and he cursed me and he beat me or he killed me or whatever he did. And today, we demand justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, but today the currency of justice is not dirham and dinar. The currency of justice today is deeds. And so, from this mountain of Uhud, size of deeds, deeds will be given to the people who are standing in line claiming. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, until that entire mountain of Uhud worth of good deeds will be exhausted, will be finished. But the line of people will still be there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the answers of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to reinforce, asks them a question and says, now what do you want me to do? His deeds are finished. The people will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, give our sins to that man. He has nothing to give. So give our sins to that man. And Allah subhanahu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this will be done. And he said, the man will be thrown into the hellfire for the sins of somebody else. Why? All because of his tongue and because of his hand, nothing else. Even though the man was doing all of those good deeds, they were being cancelled out by the evil of that person. And that is why it's very important for us, in terms of huquq ul-ibad, to be aware of this. Another hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and may forgive the transgressions against himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive transgressions against people until those people forgive it themselves. Until those people forgive those transgressions first. Why? Because this is the demand of justice. If somebody wrongs Hafiz bhai and comes to me and says, please forgive me, how can I forgive you? You didn't do anything to me, you did to him. Who am I to forgive you? You want forgiveness? Go ask him. If he forgives you, fine. If he doesn't forgive you, that's your problem. This is the basic principle of justice, that the one who can forgive is the one who you wronged. You can't wrong somebody and then you go ask forgiveness from somebody else. So this is the same principle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive those people who wronged others until those people forgive themselves. Now, question to ask is, may Allah forgive us, but our wronging begins right in the house. We oppress our wives, and because the poor woman, she has no voice in your house, she has to swallow her tears, she has to undergo and accept the indignities that you heap on her head. She was born with dignity, but you took it away. She was born like a human being, but you treat her like a doormat. And vice versa. Women are not innocent in this matter by any means. I'm just saying as an example. Women are not innocent. No. Women are as big oppressors as men. Equal, alhamdulillah. May Allah forgive us. The man was born with dignity. He spent his life, he tries to earn something, he brings it home and so on and so forth. You sit in the house, you don't have to go to work every day, you don't have to listen to people because the man is going and doing all of that. But he cannot even be treated with, he's not given one kind word, he's not treated with one word of respect, he's treated like a servant in the house. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And that is the upbringing of the children. Treat your father like a dog. Kick your mother around. This is the upbringing that the children are getting thanks to parents like this. May Allah protect those children from such parents, and may Allah give us tawfiq. It begins right in the house. This oppression begins right in the house with the servants. The man was born with dignity. Your servant was born with dignity. He was born a free man. But you treat him like an animal. Without dignity, you curse him and you use bad language, and you, even if you don't curse him, you use language. In our languages, we have different levels of grades of respect, and you treat him with the lowest grade of respect. You call him once, he doesn't hear you. I mean, not that he's trying to, he doesn't hear you. And you yell at him, then he comes, he says, kya re bhai ra hoga? Nahi kitne waqt suna ye baat mere bol? Dikhta nahi kya re, andha hai kya? How bichara khamosh baithta, because he's a poor man, he needs a salary. But he keeps quiet because today he has got nowhere to go. But a day will come when he will have somebody who is listening even now. And he will say, oh Allah, you are the witness. I do not need any other witness. You are my witness to what happened that day. Now I want justice. At that time, what will you do? Allah to gawah hai na bhai. Maybe he didn't have other witnesses at that point in time, but Allah was the witness, no? And the man will hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will say, Ya Allah, you are my witness. And we are going to stand against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as witness. Sometimes people are very amazed when somebody apologizes. Like yesterday, somebody sent me a picture of one of our brothers in a state of undress in the masjid. What is wrong with these people? I don't understand. They wear clothes which are so ridiculous. When the man goes in sajda, everything is revealed. And yesterday in Juma, somebody took a photograph of that and showed it to me. And I got so angry with this because of how many times I have said this to people. You know, please dress decently with dignity. They don't understand. So anyhow, I sent it out to the group, and then one of my very good friends, he corrected me and he said, Sheikh, you should not be sending out pictures like this. It doesn't look nice on the group. Because at the end of the day, it's a dirty picture. So I apologize. But the point I'm saying is that we have the examples of our Salaf who never ever hesitated to say they are wrong. So we have to accept the issue of huququl ibad is to accept that we are wrong. And make amends. It is better to apologize in this dunya than to have to stand with that thing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Believe me. So let us make a list of all the people that we have oppressed. And then it doesn't end with that. Ibad is not only people. And we know the famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave a woman because forgave a man because he gave some water to a thirsty dog. On a hot day, the water was in the well, the dog couldn't get to the water, so the man took out some water in his shoe and he gave it to the dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sins for this reason. Because of the kindness that he showed to an animal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was this woman who confined her cat in her house and she forgot about it. This cat died of starvation, obviously, because it was in the house, it couldn't go, it couldn't hunt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put her in the hellfire for this reason. So, in Islam, the rights of, when we say hukuk al-ibad, translation, we say right of people, but it doesn't end with people. It is the right of the makhluk. It is the right of the environment, it is the right of the animals, it is the right of the trees, it is the right of the rivers and the seas and everything else. If a Muslim pollutes the atmosphere, if the Muslim does anything which is destructive, then he is violating the rights of something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And therefore, we have to be very clear with that. And remember that Allah will not forgive until that thing or that person forgives. And believe me, on the day of judgment, there is no one going to forgive anybody else. Forgiveness will be in very short supply on the day of judgment. The only one who will forgive is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him to forgive us. But let us make sure that in this dunya itself, we live lives which are as clean as possible. Of course, we will make mistakes. We are people of, this is our nature. We make mistakes. Immediately ask forgiveness. Immediately make tawbah. There is no loss of dignity in asking forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, it keeps our feet firmly on the ground. Otherwise, the shaitan will take us into a level where we think that we cannot do wrong. La hawla quwwata illa billah. We can do wrong. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who puts a curtain and who hides our faults. I can't now recall whether it's Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn al-Jawzi, one of the Salaf, alhamdulillah, who said a very beautiful thing. He said that when somebody praises me, he is praising the curtain that Allah has put over me. He's not praising me. He's praising the curtain which Allah has put over me. And this is something that we should, I think, always remind ourselves. When anyone praises us, he's not praising us, he doesn't know me. He is praising the picture which Allah is showing him. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah always to keep this curtain and never to remove this curtain, never to reveal this. And the way to keep this curtain is to keep the curtain on others. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hide your faults, then you hide the faults of others. If you go around exposing the faults of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose your own faults. And that is very, very important for us to remember. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said, I know people who were themselves not very great. Their knowledge was not very great. Their actions and their ibadat were not very great. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot of waqar in society. People respected those people a lot. And they loved those people a great deal. And they were very popular people, very powerful people. Why? He said, because they used to hide the faults of others. And he said, I know other people who were themselves very great. They were people who were great scholars and were great, did a lot of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demeaned them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their dignity because they used to find faults with others and make public those faults. And that is why it's very important for us, huquq al-ibad, to think about and to consider this matter that let not anybody be harmed by my tongue or by my hand. And final point I want to make in this is that remember in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not differentiated between Muslim and non-Muslim with regard to the rights of people. There's no differentiation. The non-Muslim has the same right as the Muslim. If I have a non-Muslim neighbor, then non-Muslim neighbor is as entitled to be safe from my tongue and my hand, as entitled to be defended by me against anything that happens to him, as entitled to my help and my support, as a Muslim neighbor. There's no difference. Islam does not differentiate between Muslims and non-Muslims when it comes to the rights of people. Both are equally important. Both will equally stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no block and there is nothing that stops the dua of the one who is oppressed from reaching his Rabb, even when he is calling on his Rabb in the name of somebody else. So if you have oppressed a non-Muslim and he makes dua against you and he is making dua to Krishna or Rama or somebody, that dua reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any hindrance. Nothing hinders the malaika, do not stop this dua. The dua goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the non-Muslim is saying, oh, he's saying, calling whoever he's calling, and he says that there is this Muslim who is oppressing me, and this dua is heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that dua, even if it is done to somebody else. So let us be very, very clear. And this is the beauty of Islam. Why did people enter Islam? Because they saw the justice of Islam. They saw the adl of Islam. They did not enter Islam because of theological arguments. They entered Islam because they saw the justice of Islam. Says an Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he brought a case to the court, and he was the Khalifa at that time. A very famous case, very famous story. He was the Khalifa at that time. And he brought a case to the court, a case of stealing against a Jewish person. And he said that this Jew stole my armor. It was his chainmail armor. And he accused him and he said, this man stole my armor. And this case is brought to the court, the judge. And who is the complainant? Amir al-Mu'mineen. Effectively, he is the boss of the judge. But this is where Islam differentiates from everybody else. Nobody is above the law. So the judge said to him, give me a witness. So Ali bin Abi Talib brought his son Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. The judge said, witness not acceptable because he is your son. Bring another witness. Sayyidina Ali said, I have no other witness. I mean, he is my witness. I don't have any other witness. He said, sorry, case dismissed. The witness is not acceptable. This Jewish man is free. So they both came out of the court. And the Jewish man caught Hazrat Ali by his hand. And he said, this is your deen? He said, yes. He said, but you are the king. He said, makes no difference. Makes no difference. Whether I am the king or I am not the king, I brought the case to the court. I had no, you know, I have no witness, I have no acceptable evidence. So the case is dismissed. So the Jewish man said, this is your deen? He said, yeah, this is our deen. He said, then I want this deen. He said, I want this deen. He said, I didn't steal your armor. I wanted to see what will happen. He said, this armor is yours. He said, I just wanted to see what will happen. Islam spread because Muslims lived like Muslims. And that life was so beautiful, it was so attractive that people came into Islam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live like Muslims, to enable us to practice Islam in such a way that those who see us are attracted to this deen, and never to do anything which becomes a negative reflection on our religion, a negative reflection on our on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and not to do things which will take away our deeds and which will take away the good that we, whatever little good we do. I ask Allah to protect this from our own evil. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.